Little self-control. Padded Room Radio coming at you again this week as usual. My name is Darian. Miss Monica has returned.
I am here.
Monica, it's good to have you back, baby doll.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Great to be back.
Buddy is still in the house?
Yes, I am.
What's up with you guys?
Nada.
Monica, you had some unwanted visitors, I understand, last week.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Yes?
Yes. Well, the mother-in-law and the husband show up.
Right.
And then, like, not a day after they're gone, the old stepfather shows up.
Well, it's a good thing they didn't run into each other, right?
Yeah.
I think he wanted to.
Oh, really?
To make it, like,
uncomfortable. Awkward as possible.
For her.
Love it.
Yeah. And then the sister and her, significant other, they were supposed to show up, but nobody paid for her trip, so she didn't come.
Wow.
Yeah, she was expecting other people to pay for her to come to Lake Tahoe on vacation.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that?
I mean, it would be nice. I'm not expecting it, but if somebody wants to buy me a vacation, I'll go.
Right?
I'm not going to get all pissy if they don't, though. Did she get all pissy?
Well, you know, she got a little attitude, but yeah, there's a lot to that story, so there was a reason why she wasn't given.
Oh.
Yeah.
Somebody's in the doghouse.
Dun, 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 dun.
Buddy, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fabulous.
It's good to see your smiling face.
Yeah.
The face of positivity here in the padded room.
Yeah, I got lots of sleep last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, I got at least 8 hours.
I'm on like a 2.5 hour sleep diet right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Daphne has discovered that she can make noise with her face.
Uh-oh.
And thus, she's not really crying. She's just doing like a... all night long.
You got lots to say.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, so I get woken up with that about every hour on the hour.
Yeah.
She's you guys practicing. Have her in the room with you?
Yes, we do.
She's practicing for future podcasting?
I think so. She's got a lot to say.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of throat clearing to do first. Right on. Well, we got the usual shit show to get into here, my friends. We got horror news, listener mail, the usual extravaganza. Start her off with a little horror news, shall we?
Horror news.
Monica, take us away.
This is latest and breaking news.
Ooh.
Gremlins 3.
Whoa.
Oh.
Did you hear about this?
No. I did not.
Oh. Yeah, I guess Warner Brothers, it's already in the works.
Okay.
And unfortunately, it says that Gizmo is going to come to an end.
I'm already a fan.
No!
I'm already a huge fan. Fuck that little thing.
That's so sad.
I'm okay with
they
it.
They said it's going to be very dark and twisted, but...
Dark would be good.
This what? Will be it for him.
What are they going to do this time? Fire two old ladies out of the window?
Well, how many critters did they make?
Yeah, but those guys were...
Those guys were ridiculous.
I have no... I cannot defend the critters. I was going to try, though. And that's what matters.
So I'm excited for that.
I think they missed the boat on it, to be honest with you. Well, it's been almost... It's probably been over 20 years since the last Gremlins movie, right? At least.
Yeah.
So
that was the one with Hulk Hogan in it.
Movie scene. Yeah, where they took over the skyscraper.
Yeah.
So come on, it's been 20 years, dude.
Well, with all the stuff they can do now, this should be a badass movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sharknado versus the Gremlins.
No. Did you watch some of that?
No.
Oh my god.
What? The next Sharknado?
Yeah.
5?
Yeah.
No.
I watched bits and pieces and I thought I was going to commit suicide.
Why would you do that?
Because it was so ridiculous. I had to see Tara Reid hold a helicopter.
You hate Tara Reid.
I know.
So why would you watch it?
Because she's so stupid looking.
You're insane.
Glutton for punishment.
You are a masochist.
I had to stare at her. She's holding the helicopter and waiting for her husband to jump out of it while she's holding it with her bionic arm or whatever.
Oh, righty.
Yeah. I'm like, really?
Good day, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Can I say something? At this point, I feel like Shark Week, probably more harm than good, right? Raiders of the Lost Shark. I was talking to Amanda at the Cogpot about it. The one where they went to prison? Sharks in the women's prison?
Oh, the Arkansas. Sharkansas.
Sharkansas women's prison. Shark Avalanche. Ghost Shark. Come on, man. I'm done. I don't even care about sharks anymore.
Yeah. I did watch Open Water 3, so.
Did you?
Oh, how was that?
Right on.
Well, we'll get into it.
Okay. Can't be any worse than the second one.
Right.
The other news is, I don't know if you have this one, Laid to Rest.
Ooh, yes. Another Laid to Rest movie?
Yes, a number 3 is coming out.
I love it.
And they're saying it's going to be the goriest movie ever.
Ooh,
and
yes.
They start shooting in Alabama this December.
The return of Chrome Skull.
Yes, same guy is playing him.
Nick Pence?
Yes,
wow. Love it.
It's going to be him.
Are you done being angry at Laid to Rest? Why? Why not? Because the chick woke up in the freezer.
Because she was horrible.
I know, but she was so hot. I don't even remember her name. I remember she was screaming hot, though. I like Chrome Skull.
She had a good body, that's
she
for
did.
Sure.
And it had white trash Lena Headey in the first one.
Oh.
Which you don't... She's like a mainstay in Game of Thrones now. It's kind of hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of hard picturing her, Cersei Lannister, as white trash, but she pulled it off.
I don't know. I'll watch it just because it said it was going to be
Did
gory.
You ever watch the second one?
Mm-hmm. I watched all
three. With Brian Austin Green?
Yes.
I think the second one...
is better?
I don't know if better is the word I'd use. Yes, I am pumped for Laid to Rest 3. I'm into that.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got, Monica?
Oh, and found this out. John Wick is in development.
Right.
And they're they didn't kind of release this, but it might be Tokyo or Jerusalem where it's going to be shot at.
Well, those are two totally different places.
That's true. I know, right?
You would think it kind of has like a kung fu movie feel to it, so I would lean towards Tokyo.
I think Tokyo would be better.
Racially insensitive music. Wow, buddy.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
You just went there.
And also, later on this year, there's going to be a John Wick comic book series coming out.
Oh, cool.
Yay!
I'm into that.
I hope he looks like him.
I hope it's not like a Marvel comic. You know what I mean? Because if it is, it's going to be like just, you know, kids and stuff. And
oh, I don't think
so. It's
going to
be like family friendly.
No.
Are you going to make it,
I don't think so.
See, that's karma.
Yeah.
That's the ghosts of Asian people karate chopping you in the throat right now. Now I'm making racially insensitive remarks. All righty, buddy. You got anything for us this week?
Yeah, so... the star of E.T. joins Netflix Haunting of Hill House.
I'm into that.
Yeah, Henry Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And Grey's Anatomy's grad Elizabeth Reeser and Hush's Kate Siegel.
Not 100% sure who they are.
So basically it's ordered straight to series. It's a 10-episode project.
Oh, it's a series?
Yeah.
Okay.
10-episode project described as a modern reimagining of Shirley Jackson's 1959 novel and centers on 4 people living in an 80-year-old mansion. So the Netflix version, The Haunting of Hill House, draws from the original classic ghost story while expanding on the mythology of the Crane family.
I'm into that.
Huh.
Yeah. I didn't care for The Haunting, which was the last remake of this.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I like Catherine Zeta-Jones. I tried to read the book, man. It is just, it bored me to tears.
Really?
Yeah. I tried like three times. I even tried to do the Audible. I'm like, oh, I'll just drive around. I'm going to fucking drive into oncoming traffic. That's how boring it is. I'll nod off and go right into the oncoming lane.
Wow.
Maybe Netflix will spice it up for us.
Maybe.
Yeah. What else you got?
Are you familiar with the new horror movie Mother?
I am not.
It stars Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a cult thriller about a couple whose relationships are tested when uninvited guests arrive at their home, disrupting their tranquil existence. Apparently, Jennifer Lawrence hyperventilated and broke a rib while filming it.
Very good. Cool.
Yeah, I thought that was
good. Kind of,
wow.
what is this now? You got a problem with J-Law?
Yeah, I do.
What is your problem? Too big of a forehead.
Chris Pratt just broke up or is divorcing his wife because...
To be with Jennifer Lawrence?
Well, there was rumors of an affair going on.
I would divorce my wife for Jennifer Lawrence.
What?
Yeah, I would.
You would divorce house bunny chick?
The house bunny
chick? Yeah, he's married to her. Oh. And Scary Movie?
Anna Faris.
Yeah.
Anna
Faris, yeah. Yeah, they're married.
Until
like 2 days ago, they announced their divorce.
That's a tough decision right there.
I'm leaning towards Jennifer Lawrence.
I'm leaning towards Anna Faris.
Oh.
I think I go Anna Faris in that one. I mean, Jennifer Lawrence looks great, especially in the Hunger Games when she's got all the combat gear on.
Yeah.
That's a tough decision. That is a tough one.
Isn't she dating like a director or something?
Not anymore. She's dating Chris Pratt, apparently.
Yeah, watch. Once the divorce is finalized, they'll be all over the newspapers.
I love it. I love that about them.
So, Anya Taylor-J is reteaming with The Witch director on a Nosferatu remake, which will shoot early 2018.
What do you think of her?
I think she's got a promising career.
Did you see Morgan yet?
No, I did not.
Check her out in Morgan. She plays like this weird bio, like construct, and she's like a killing machine.
Oh. She's kind of cute.
She is. She's got like the big doe eyes, and I'm going to give her like another couple years because I think she's a little young. Before I start beating off to her on a regular basis.
Right.
I'm not ready for a committed relationship just yet. Right on, man.
That's all I got. What do you got?
Oh, let's see what else we got here. Arnold Schwarzenegger has confirmed another Terminator installment.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I'm done with him.
I am not anywhere near being caught up on the Terminator franchise. But the good news is that the next one, the rights to the franchise are going to revert back to James Cameron, who started the whole thing. And that's the one that Arnold's going to be in. So there is hope for Terminators.
Yeah, we'll see.
Did you see they said that he was going to play a human in this one?
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
Come on. Why would you build an elderly Terminator?
Right?
That doesn't make any sense. Right? I don't know.
I didn't really think about it like that.
I mean, I know you would because you have your weird elderly gentleman fetish. You're obviously
hitting people with a cane.
That's hold me back. Old men with balls swinging around. Right on. So that's something to look forward to. Speaking of James Cameron, how would you guys feel about Aliens in 3D?
Oh, I'd like that.
He's teasing it right now on Twitter. That might actually be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
I can see that. It's one of my favorite movies ever, Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
What do you like better, Alien or Aliens?
Aliens.
Aliens. That's what I say.
Aliens.
Number two.
I drove my mom crazy with that when I was a kid. Made her watch it like 500 times.
I bet you did.
I did. Drove her nuts. I used to walk around like I had one of those smart guns. Love those things. My eyepiece. Love that shit, buddy. Quit looking at me like that. Lastly, it looks like NBC has announced yet another Munsters reboot. This time, the Munsters are going to be living in hipster Brooklyn. So they're going to have to deal with the hipsters.
Who's casted in this?
Nobody yet.
Okay.
There was a failed Munsters reboot back in 2012 where they called it Mockingbird Lane, which apparently is the street that the Munsters originally lived on. And they had Eddie Izzard playing Grandpa Munster, but it was like some kind of a weird steampunk variation. And they shot the whole series, but they only aired the pilot during a Halloween special. And apparently it just went right into the shitter because that was as far as that went.
Weird.
I don't really give a crap. I was never a big fan of the Munsters. I felt like they were ripping off the Addams Family.
My son loves the Munsters.
Yeah? Fred Gwynn? Mm-hmm. Has he seen the Addams Family?
A little bit. I don't think he's responded quite the
he's
same.
He's not... all right. Team Munsters or Team Addams Family? Addams Family.
Oh, I'm Addams Family.
Monica?
I like them both. I grew up watching the Munsters.
The Munsters?
So, yeah, I didn't really see the Addams Family that much.
The mom is hotter in Addams Family.
I believe so. I get them confused, though, sometimes, be honest with you. No?
The Munsters lady was hotter. I mean, in real life.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm talking real life.
Yeah, probably. I was a big fan of Lurch, though. Lurch is my favorite.
You rang.
Oh, yeah.
And a hand.
Oh, yeah. Right on. That was it on the horror news, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get ourselves into some listener mail.
Mm-hmm.
I understand we may have some correspondence this week.
Listener mail.
Listener mail. Okay. Let's start it off with the emails and our old friend Angel coming in from Oakland, California.
Hi, Angel.
Hey, Angel's in the house. Subject line, padded room. I think she's talking to us.
Yeah.
Hey, padded room for Terror Dome. Give me Pazuzu for singles competition and Umbrella Corp for the teams. Oh, shit. All right. Hold on, Angel. That's two more for Pazuzu and two more for the old Umbrella Corp. Monica, who do you think would win in a fight between Frankenstein's monster and Pazuzu? The demon.
Pazuzu.
You think Pazuzu?
Yeah.
Fucking ass. Whatever. What about the Umbrella Corporation and the Hattiger brothers?
Oh, the Umbrella Corporation.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. He's on a roll tonight, isn't he?
Oh
my dog
God.
Is in here blowing us up.
Smells like rotten egg.
Yeah, he's got liver problems. I'm loving the movie choices so far this month. I haven't gotten around to seeing Annabelle again yet this week, but I saw it a while back when it first became available for streaming, I think. I'm probably due for a revisit, especially with the new one coming out. My mom is the one that told me about the new one. Super excited, like a schoolgirl, so I'll have to go see it with her sometime. Until next time, Angel. Angel, you're going to have to wear a schoolgirl outfit then when you go to see it, and you're going to have to send us pictures of that.
That's right.
That's rules. It's just rules and regulations, Angel. Yeah. There's nothing we can do about it.
Don't want to break them.
You don't want to get us kicked off of the podcasting thing, do you?
Yeah, and you have to have, like, unbutton three buttons down.
And you have to tie it above, you tie the shirt above the belly button so that the midriff shows.
And you must have a tan.
I prefer a plaid skirt, if that's available. If that's an option, I mean, that's just my own personal preference. Whatever you want to do, Angel.
We're not demanding or anything.
Absolutely not. up next comes our coworker, Cake Wolf.
Hey, Cake Wolf.
Did you guys get a chance to check out Cake Wolf's new show?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Here on the Padded Room Network.
Love it.
Pretty good stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I'm waiting for a banana beating.
I know, right?
At some point, there's just going to be a tussle of microphones and banana flying, and we're not going to know what's going on.
Yeah, especially if they say, like, you know, the whole, you can't say a word that starts with the letter, like in this case is V.
Right.
I'd rather just hear them get hit with a banana if they say it. I think
that
would be hilarious.
I like that a lot better.
Yeah.
Here comes Cake Wolf's subject line. Foodoo Waggles. I don't know what that even means.
All right.
Hey, Padded Room. I'll be taking the Umbrella Corp for teams. We're over here on teams. Two more for the Umbrella Corp. And I kind of see Frank just killing himself here once he got a moment of control. I don't know. What do you think that means?
That Frankenstein would kill himself?
Yeah. Is that a win for Frank or... a win for Pazuzu. That's you're getting too.
I think Frank.
Okay, I'm gonna go Frankenstein.
So Frankenstein kills himself and he wins.
Sure. I don't know. I don't even know. Well, if I guess.
I think he's comparing it to the where the
the demon goes into the priest.
Yeah. Right. And then he jumps.
So in a way, that was a win for Catholics and a win for Frankenstein, who's German.
Wow, that was intense.
So
that's what it sounds like to me.
I'll go with, we're going with Frankenstein on that one. Wow. I don't know if that's what you meant, Cake Wolf, but that's what we're doing.
If we're wrong, we'll have some Everclear for you.
Sure. We'll do a padded room shot.
Yeah.
We've recorded 5 episodes now, so the fellow inmates have some more goodies coming at them. Thank you, Darian, Monica, and Buddy, for letting us join the site. Wouldn't it be cool if a lot of other horror podcasts became a horror network? I would love that. Unfortunately, we're dealing with a lot of egos and stuff like that. People don't want their brand affiliated with other brands, so... We don't have a brand, so if anybody wants to join us in the padded room, they're welcome to do so.
Absolutely.
I'd like to get the horror hoes
in
with us.
Yeah, me too. That'd be awesome.
I like those chicks.
That would be a fun night.
Mm-hmm. That would be a drunk fucking Cake Wolf, Dean Patty. Oh, God. Somebody's going to the hospital. Probably me. Working together, there'd be so much strength and creative talent to spread out. One site that connects the Islands of Horror podcast together. Instead of having so many singular patrons, there would be one that benefits the whole. With such heavy hitters out there like Shockwaves, Forever Midnight, Mick Garris, etc., the more personal shows like The Padded Room, Resurrection of Zombie 7, Streaming Horror Society, Dead as Hell, Straight Chilling, Scream Queens, etc., are harder to find for new listeners looking for horror podcasts. It makes sense to me. What do you guys think? We're in.
We're in.
We're in.
Yeah.
If you want to mastermind this thing, you go really ahead. Go right ahead. I recently watched Hansel and Gretel Get Baked. Has some fun scenes of gore, but not too many. It's an okay film for the most part, but it would have been way better if they upped the violence to suit the ridiculous story. It's basically a teen horror with a made-for-TV feel. A Nazi witch selling Black Forest pot lures in teens to eat them and steal their youth. Don't go out of your way for this one. I have no intention of... seeing that. Does that sound interesting to you guys?
No.
You got to remember, here's what...
Unless you're wasted.
Now, here's the thing. Inmates, whenever Cake Wolf recommends a movie, don't fucking watch it. Don't watch it. I've been sitting on Killer Tongue for like 4 weeks now. I can't get past the 20-minute mark. Don't do it. Also watch Deathline, the Blue Underground release. Damn, that shit was tight. Donald Pleasance is amazing as the lead. It really shows the acting chops he's capable of.
Wow.
I saw him in another movie the other day where he played like a gay Australian, and he's like bullying the school teacher around. He's like shirtless the entire movie. Oh, I think it's called Wake and Fright or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's good times. That's funny. I've never seen this before, but I was only aware of the movie Raw Meat, which was a chopped-up version of the original Deathline. Raw Meat was crap. Whoever broke up the original version had to have been a bastard businessman. Deathline is amazing. It's best to go into this one without knowing anything. There's a slow build to this movie, but it becomes a mindfuck of a ride. Have a great show today. Cake Wolf out.
Nice.
Very cool, Cake Wolf.
Yeah.
Right on, right on. Here comes Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Right here in Reno, Nevada. Mm-hmm. Subject line, movies and votes.
Oh, I saw this and I passed it because I was Raw Meat because I was like, it's 1972. It can't be that good.
Well, apparently that's the shit version. You want the real version. Deathline. For Teardome this week, I'm going Frankenstein's Monster. That's what I'm talking about, Sean. And Umbrella Corp. Yeah, that one's a blowout. That was a blowout. I enjoyed The Devil's Candy. It wasn't a terribly original film, but it doesn't have to be good. I love the use of metal throughout the movie to set the tone without feeling shoehorned in as it can in some other horror movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just found out this week there were 2 sequels to Open Water. I checked those out, but as I'm sure you could guess, they are definitely movies you can skip. Yeah, I could have. I haven't seen Open Water 3 yet. But I remember Open Water 2, I was actively rooting for the shark.
Yes.
And looking at my watch going, where's the fucking shark?
Yeah.
Anytime
now.
Anytime there, big guy. Let's get him moving.
Yeah.
In Open Water 2, you pretty much just want everyone to die.
Yep.
So that they just shut up and stop making the stupidest mistakes one after another. It started like at the 10-minute mark.
Yeah.
Let's all jump off the boat.
Sounds you're a great bunch of idea.
Fucking morons. Yeah. This is natural selection is what this is.
Mm-hmm.
I think treading water with them would have been more fun than sitting through this movie. Open Water 3 is a bit better in my opinion, but it's found footage and they're kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. That's it for me, Sean. Well, I mean, at least from the sound, Open Water 3 was the one with the cage dive, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least it sounds like they at least took it seriously.
Yeah.
It's not a goddamn lava shark or fucking sharks in the mud. It's not mud sharks.
Right.
At least they're in the water this time and not in prison.
Yeah.
Or flying through the air.
Yeah. Being ridden by Nazi zombies. Here comes Christina.
Hey, Christina.
Subject line, happy hour and more. Hi, Padded Room. Cake Wolf sprung cake bitch on me, but we decided to run with it. So I guess we'll now be referring to Christina as Cake Bitch.
Sounds good.
Okay. Oh, okay. You got it.
It's cake. Official.
It's official. You are the Cake Bitch. Since I'm all about Bitch Planet, so I've decided to reclaim Bitch in honor of all my non-compliant friends. I'm raising my fist in the air right now in solidarity. Nice. But I realize this isn't really the medium for that kind of thing. Oh, we don't care, Christina. Whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I personally was not a fan of Split because it had too many holes. For real. Why would his therapist not alert the authorities about where he was living? I can't say more without spoiling anything. Anyway, Matt and his pal recorded a podcast about Split because his pal liked the movie and he raised some interesting points I hadn't considered. It's possible that M. Night Shyamalan is just more of a genius filmmaker than I realized, and I guess I could be a subpar movie watcher. Who knows? Is that not how you pronounce his name? Shyamalan?
No, it sounds like Rebel of a Dig Dog.
Yeah, Shyamalan. I love the ending of Lights Out. Quit making fun of me, goddammit. I love the ending of Lights Out. I think it was a perfect analogy to the demons of depression. I'm surprised there wasn't more outcry from those in the suicide prevention community because the movie pretty much confirms that the only way to get rid of the demon is to kill yourself. Many people who are suicidal may interpret this as confirmation of their feelings, but I also think it frames suicide in a sympathetic rather than selfish light. Important side note, it's rough, but there are ways out of depression. Are ways out of depression outside of killing yourself. Call a friend, a doctor, or the suicide hotline, or listen to a podcast. I added that one myself. There's always light somewhere. This week's individual showdown between Pazuzu and Frankenstein's monster feels like a no-brainer to me. I'm going with Pazuzu because he can jump into Frankenstein. He can probably shut down Frankenstein's monster, or he could probably jump into Frankenstein himself. God damn it. Cake bitch. All right. It's two more for Pazuzu. The monster might not have one, but maybe reanimating things do. I don't have the answer to that. I'll add it to my list of questions to ask at the Pearly Gates. But if Pazuzu can successfully kill a priest, then I think it would be a cakewalk to kill a dumb, clumsy, possibly soulless monster alive only through mad science. I have to be 100% honest with you. I have no idea who the Hattiger brothers are. The closest thing I could find trying to research them is the Hitchhiker brothers from Wrong Turn. Well, that's exactly who they are. So you nailed that one, cake bitch.
Good research.
Yes. Wrong Turn. Is that who you were talking about? Did I take a wrong turn somewhere? Matt told me to vote for the Umbrella Corporation, so I'm tempted to vote for the brothers just because. She sounds like my wife. Well, I'm sure you're wrong. But you seemed very confident in the Umbrella Corp's abilities, and after thinking about it more, they have money, weapons, and biological warfare on their side. Mm-hmm. So, I'm throwing Matt a bone, and I'm going to vote for the Umbrella Corp. Because, well, money, weapons, and viruses. Almost everyone except for demons would be fucked. Happy almost hump day, Christina. Two more for the Umbrella.
You know, she made a very good point that I didn't think about. Huh. So I would like to change my vote.
Okay, what do you got?
Frankenstein does not have a soul.
That is correct.
So, therefore, he cannot be possessed.
I love
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm taking Frankenstein.
Look yeah, at this.
That was a good point.
Yeah,
you want to change your vote
think
too?
Think about that.
I already chose Pazuzu.
I know. But do you want to change your vote to Frankenstein?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
No.
Are you sure?
Well, you just didn't want to scribble it, did you?
I did. Because now Frankenstein is back in the lead.
Oh.
How you like that?
Shit. Well, I was just like being logical.
Okay.
Frankenstein has no soul.
It's true. That's true. That's the truth.
I voted for Pazuzu.
I don't even know how this fight really takes place, because Pazuzu just, like, inhabits little girls, and then Frankenstein would smash the shit out of Reagan. What's she going to do? Throw up on him?
Yeah, he could rip her apart.
Fuck yeah.
That's a good point.
I'm just thinking out loud, people. That's all I'm doing. Here comes Tony.
Hi, hey, Tony.
Subject line, am I evil? Greetings, padded room. Sorry I keep missing these emails, dealing with some family things, and I keep getting in the way of my movie watching. I was able to watch The Devil's Candy. I don't think I would put this in the horror section. The guy worships Satan, but other than that, it had very little horror in my opinion. It easily could have been a Lifetime original. I don't see
what?
That.
Mm-mm.
I don't see that happening.
No.
I don't know. I don't know, Tony. I will say that regardless, it had me hooked from the opening scene. Metallica is always one sure way to grab my attention. Mm-hmm. I also watched a found footage film that was on a recommended viewing article on Bloody Disgusting called Daylight. Wow, that was a piece of garbage. It's supposed to be about a CPS case that turns out to be demonic possession. What it turns out to be is a big waste of time. Skip this one. I actually started that. I got like 10 minutes in and then I don't even remember. Something came up and I was like, whatever. Yeah, it was pretty lackluster from what I remember, though. Finally, I watched Dateline special the other night on The Son of Sam. This is some true horror here. I didn't know much about the case prior to watching this interview with him. Turns out the guy's a terrible shot. Half of the people he shot with his .44, he only wounded. And they were all headshots. For the Terror Dome, I will choose the Umbrella Corporation. Yeah, it's a blowout. Two more for the Umbrella Corporation. Based on numbers and mutations. Also, I guess I pick Frank. Why not? Yeah, Tony! I love that. Until next time, Tony. Oh, don't worry about it, man. I burp into the microphone all the time. Very cool, Tony. Your votes are locked in, amigo. You ever watch serial killer documentaries?
Mm-mm.
They get pretty freaky sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know what's worse, the documentaries or the unsolved mysteries where they're looking for the psychos. Either way, whatever you're watching, you feel like the guy is right outside your bedroom window staring at you.
Yeah, I remember the old Unsolved Mysteries way back in the day.
Yeah, Robert Stack in a trench coat.
Yeah.
Hanging around light posts and shit.
Yeah.
Freaky. What the hell's he doing? What's his problem?
I was always irritated at the very end that it's unsolved. So.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have a list for you. Maybe we can make a deal.
Right.
We got a couple voicemails here.
All right.
Let's see here.
Who's up first?
I want to say this is probably Alan.
Padded room, what's up?
What's up,
Hey, Alan.
Terror Dome, give me and Shelly are taking Pazuzu and Umbrella. Shit, oh yeah, dude, thanks for playing Goat Whore. Hope everybody's doing good. Bye.
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 See you later, Alan. No problem, man. Goat Whore, do we like Goat Whore?
The song that was on last week?
Last week, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I'm not mad at it. Kind of hard to sing along to, if you know the lyrics.
Yeah, that's not stuff you sing to.
Try to sing that tune in the shower, why don't you? Here comes another one. Here comes Ryan on the voicemail this time.
Wow.
Ryan never calls in.
Hey, Padded Room. This is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Just calling in for my votes. I'm going to take Frankenstein, Monster. I have nothing to back that up.
You don't need anything.
And for teams, I'm going to take the Umbrella Corp.
Of course.
Yeah, I think that's it. Bye.
All right, Ryan.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Nice to hear your voice for a change.
Right?
Yeah. And we gave you logic for why Frankenstein
absolutely
is better.
I don't know if it's makes sense to anybody other than us.
It does make sense.
Makes sense to me. It's all that matters. Alrighty, that's it for the listener mail. You guys got anything for Angel, Alan, Ryan, Tony, Cake Bitch, Cake Wolf, or anybody else?
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Of course, thank you all very much. In the meantime, let's get ourselves into a movie here, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
John, wake up.
What's it?
Next door, I heard a scream.
Stay here, I'm gonna check it out.
John? Is everything alright?
Oh my God!
You're covered in blood.
Go back inside. It's not mine. It's not. Go back inside. Call the ambulance right now. Go!
I like your dog.
You survived. You don't come out the other side of something like this weaker. What is there left to be scared of?
This is the last of them.
How did that get in there? I swear I threw it out.
Things must have got mixed up.
There, she fits right in.
Come to mommy. Come to mommy.
Experiencing as a ghost.
Sometimes demons can attach themselves to objects.
What do I do? Protect your family.
Annabelle from 2014. For some reason, this movie is rated R. I can't figure out why.
Why?
I'm just trying to think. Nobody got beheaded, right?
No, I mean, it was a stabbing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Guy
no
got shot.
Naked
I could see
scenes.
PG-13. But...
yeah, no nude scenes. Even there wasn't even any language, really, that I can recall.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, it's Annabelle from 2014, directed by John R. Leonetti, written by Gary Dauberman. You guys recognize the name John R. Leonetti for anything?
No.
Directed Mortal Kombat Annihilation,
oh,
which is a piece of shit. And I am a Mortal Kombat fanboy.
Come over here.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry to go off track, but is that the one that stars the guy that stabbed his friend in real life?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking about the Red Power Ranger?
No.
Because he's on death row.
Is he the one that stabbed somebody?
He killed
or
somebody.
The Mortal Kombat guy. You might be right.
I have no idea. Did one of the Mortal Kombat guys stab somebody?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I thought one of them like killed their friend or something.
Oh,
with
shit.
With a sword.
I have to look this up later.
I'll have to Google
it. Was
it.
A fatality.
Yeah.
Fatality. Yeah. Loser actor wins. Alrighty. That's awesome. This one stars Annabelle Wallace, Ward Horton, and Alfre Woodard. Oh, man. This one, I remember, I watched this one like a year after it came out. And I remember thinking, oh, everybody was shitting all over it. And I remember thinking, oh, this isn't that bad. And I watched it last night, and I'm like, now I know why everybody's shitting all over it.
Yeah.
That
was actually the first time I watched it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
There's only one good scene in this.
There is.
Yeah.
And if you're like me, Monica, which I know you are, I know we're thinking of the same scene.
Yeah.
Dude, Annabelle Wallace just killed this movie for me. She just doesn't like act. There's no acting. You know, it's just that blank smile all through the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody told her a dirty joke that she doesn't fully understand, but she knows.
Trying to be polite.
It's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has kind of a sour puss.
She doesn't do anything. I don't. All right.
Yeah,
no.
You're right. Even when she was like happy,
dude,
she wasn't happy.
She gets stabbed in the gut, falls down, and then just kind of like sits up and just kind of. Her husband's getting the shit kicked out of him by two crazed cult leaders.
And she's just sitting there. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh, she killed it for me. I couldn't take her. Anyway, so we start off with the same footage that we saw at the beginning of The Conjuring, which is the interview with the two college students that are having a problem with Annabelle. We don't actually get to see the Warrens in this case. It's just the two college students. Nursing students, as I recall. And then we cut to probably about a year or so later, or before, actually. We are now in, we've moved from the East Coast to the West Coast. We're in Santa Monica, California. I'm going to put us 19, mid-60s, I'd say. And we get to meet just the most boring lily-white couple you've ever seen in your entire life. That we start off at a Catholic church. Where else would we be? And she's she's pregnant. And I feel like this was almost an arranged marriage. Because I don't feel like these two have ever had like a real conversation about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just that it's Annabelle Wallace, dude. I don't think she was she ever introduced to her husband, or do they not?
Even he didn't like her.
No, he's like, you know, he's like, oh, hey, honey. And he like puts his arm around. It looks like the most uncomfortable situation ever. Mm-hmm. God. Oh, no. All right, so basically we meet these two. She's like 8 months pregnant, I'd say. They're religious. They're Catholic, as you are supposed to be if you're dealing with the Warrens. And he is a pre-med student, and he's working on his residency and getting ready to be a full-blown doctor. So that's pretty cool, and it's a little stressful. And they're living in Santa Monica. They got your picket white fence house, you know, one story in a decent neighborhood, it looks like. So, literally, this is probably the most boring couple ever.
Yeah.
And that's all well and good. We get, like, a, you know, just some day-to-day life with them. They go to church. They come home. She's pregnant, so she's taking it easy. And he's basically telling her that, oh, you know, I'm working on my residency, and I'm going to have to go to these conferences, and I'm going to be away for long periods of time, but I have to do it if I'm going to be a doctor, if we're going to make ends meet. And, again, with this blank face, it's okay.
I thought he was having an affair.
I was hoping he was. Mm-hmm. I know I would be if I was him. I would find a hot Latina somewhere and bang the snot out of her. Oh, no. Anyway, as they're having this conversation, the TV is on in the background, and we actually get a little news snippet of the arrest of the Manson family.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Go to bed that night. Everything's copacetic so far, and then through an open bedroom window, we get to see the neighbor's wife getting murdered, and a loud scream which wakes up Mia. Mia is the wife's name, John is the husband, mm-hmm. and in a particularly douchey move, they're going to name the baby Leah. So we have Mia and Leah. That's clever. Unlike Deacon, Daphne, Darian, and Daly. Anyway, we get to see the neighbor's wife get murdered. It looks like she got choked out with a phone cord or something. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just the neighbor's husband murdering his wife.
That's what I thought,
because it looked like he was like giving her a good talking to, and you fucking whore. And, mm-hmm. and then he grabs her, and then she screams, and that wakes up Mia. And then Mia wakes up John, and John's like, I'm going to go over there and check it out, because that's what they would do for us. So he goes over there and checks it out. We get a very tense scene here. This movie is very heavy on the unnecessary jump scares.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
A lot of just like violin. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, shit. Out of nowhere for no fucking reason. Anyway, he goes over there, checks it out. She gets nervous, and we find out that there's somebody in the house with her.
Mm-hmm.
Young lady. She looks like she's wearing like a fucking... I don't know. What do you call it? Like a nightgown robe type of thing? Like an angel robe or something? And she's walking around the house in the background behind Mia. Mia gets nervous, so she goes outside, starts walking towards the neighbor's house. And that's when John comes running out, and he's covered in blood. And he's like, hey, we got a problem here. Go back inside. Call an ambulance. Don't worry. It's not my blood. So she goes running back inside. John goes back into the neighbor's house to try to offer medical aid to the neighbor, who I assume is bleeding out. Mia goes inside, calls 911. That's great. And then the lady in the angel robe shows up, and she's carrying Annabelle the doll with her.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's clearly Annabelle. She's not as beat up as we were accustomed to at this point.
Right.
She's got like a fresh coat of paint on her. Mm-hmm. She comes out and she's like, I like your doll. And Mia's like, okay. Okay, great. My husband's going to be back. And then we find out this young lady's not alone. Her boyfriend or cult fellow cult member or whoever comes out of a closet and stabs Mia in the side with a steak knife. Mia goes down. John rushes to her aid and tackles the male cult leader and puts a pretty good beating on him. But in the scuffle, the knife gets knocked loose and the female cult leader grabs the knife and goes after John. John manages to wrestle the knife away from her. Mia does absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
she just sits. She just props herself up against the wall. Doesn't even like shout encouragement, which would be nice, or hey, get off of him. She just looks at her hand and then. Already, I'm furious at this movie. So then the male cult leader jumps on John and he starts beating him with like a lamp or something like that. And he's about to like cave his skull in, but then the police show up and shoot the male cult leader. Mm-hmm. The female cult member goes like into the doll room or the nursery or whatever it was and basically commits suicide in there. All right. Scary stuff. That's the opening of your movie. Now, so far, not so bad. Right? We got a little home invasion action. A pregnant lady gets stabbed. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not cool, but for movie purposes, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Ah, not so bad. All right. Now we cut to, I guess, like a couple days later. We get Mia home from the hospital. She is like, the baby is fine. That's good news. But she is put on like permanent bed rest, which I think sounds pretty cool on paper. Like just being able to lay in bed all day. But I think I would go crazy after at least one. I could probably do one day in bed. Yeah. And then after that, I would be like, no, I'm going fucking nuts here.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing on TV. I got to get out of here. Anyway, they bring her home. She's now on permanent bed rest. John now has to go to this conference in Sacramento for his medical review or whatever. That's pretty cool. So he takes off, and she's there by herself in the house. Now, first, I guess she's like into sewing stuff because she's got like an old school sewing machine.
Yeah.
And she's like.
That's what they did back then.
Yeah, I guess. My wife likes to staple clothes. If I rip something, she staples it shut with a stapler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then I can get like one more wear out of it, and then we put it in the washer, and the staples just rip the whole thing to shreds.
Staples.
Yeah. Now, whatever you got to do, I guess.
Yeah.
Makes her feel better.
Duct tape. It might last longer.
Sure. A little conspicuous, but whatever you got to do. All right. She's sewing away, and there's one of those old school things, a popcorn, with the where it came in like the pre-made pan, and you just put it on the oven.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is sitting on the stove. She's sewing away. You know what's about to happen because suddenly we're getting the close up of her finger as it's moving closer to the sewing needle. So she's watching TV, sewing away. Popcorn's on the stove. Stove turns itself on.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. We got a hungry popcorn ghost on our hands here, buddy. Yeah. Popcorn starts making itself. How can you not smell burnt popcorn?
Thank you.
That is the most distinct smell in the known universe.
Mm-hmm.
I could smell burnt popcorn probably in Seattle right now. I would notice there was burning popcorn.
Or you'd hear the fire.
Something.
Yeah.
I get it. There was no smoke alarms apparently in the mid-60s, but whatever.
Yeah, and that tinfoil, there was no noise on that popcorn as it was popping.
No, none whatsoever. All right, so the popcorn starts popping itself. It explodes and catches the kitchen on fire.
Mm-hmm.
She, as that's happening, she, of course, sews her finger and gets like a gash in it. So she goes to the bathroom, starts washing it off, oblivious to the smoke that's filling the house. And then eventually... figures out that the goddamn kitchen's on fire. It goes out there, and she's like, the kitchen's on fire.
Yeah.
The kitchen's on fire. And then she goes to call the cops, but then something knocks her down, so she starts, like, crawling away towards the door, and that's about the time that the neighbors come in and get her out of there.
Yeah, starts sucking her back towards the...
Yeah, kitchen. Towards the fire.
Yeah, that was all pretty right. Cool.
Yeah, that was all right. But realistically, at this point, we're not really in haunted doll land. We're more in haunted house land.
Right.
And we're not really going to get to Haunted Doll Land. At least not till like the last 10 minutes of the movie. Whatever. Anyway, so that's pretty gnarly. She gets rushed to the hospital. I guess the house is okay. I mean, it's just some damage to the kitchen. John comes rushing back from Sacramento. He's there. Apparently, they had to induce labor because the baby is born before he gets there.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets there and he meets the baby, Leah, Mia and Leah. And now everybody's happy. So he's like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. Don't worry about the house. We'll fix it. And she's like, John, I can't go back to that house. There's something in the house. You think I'm kidding? This is the exact... I could have played Mia in this movie and probably done a better job. That's exactly the caliber of performance we're getting here. Anyway, he's like, oh, okay, well, don't worry about it. Now we cut to, I guess, a week or two later. They now are living in an apartment in Pasadena, I think. And that's pretty cool. It's like a... not really a high rise, but it's like a 10 or 12 story building. And they've got it all done up. It looks actually pretty nice in there.
Yeah.
Leah's room is all pink and it's got all the dolls in it. Just before they left the first house, John threw Annabelle away. And the reason why is because every time Mia looked at Annabelle, she saw the dead cult member whose name also was Annabelle. So thus, Annabelle. So he's like, throw it away. But then when they're unpacking their boxes, Annabelle shows up in one of their boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, Leah is like, oh, we're going to start over in this apartment. We're not going to let that dead cult lady ruin our daughter's doll collection. So she keeps Annabelle, puts it on the shelf. Now Annabelle's got like a bunch of smoke damage and she's starting to look gnarly and her dress is all jacked off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty creepy. So they put Annabelle back on the shelf. Okay. John goes away to work, and now we get the creepy shit happening around the apartment, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Creepy apartment.
Mm-hmm.
This sequence right here is probably the best part of the whole movie. It's late at night. Lee is there by herself. Mia's asleep. So Leah's walking around. Am I getting him confused?
Mia's the mom.
Mia's the mom.
Mia, mom.
Leah, baby.
Right.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Who
we know what you're saying.
All right, that's all that matters.
Just think of Mama Mia.
Uninteresting character number one versus much smaller uninteresting character. So Mia is walking around. She's like picking the place up, and one of the windows is open. She goes and like goes to shut it, and then I guess the curtain just blew past her because it like knocked her down. Mm-hmm. And then we see like what appears to be like a little girl run through the apartment real quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But by little girl, I mean, what do you think, like 8 or 9 maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
This is probably the best part of the movie.
It is the best part of the movie, right, Monica?
Oh, no.
You don't think so?
No.
What do you think is the best part of the movie?
Down in the basement.
Was that the basement?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like the upper, like towards the attic. Because it was windows.
No, when she goes down to the basement.
In the elevator?
Yeah, she's trying to get the elevator to go up.
Oh. I think that was an attic, actually. No. Because there's no windows in a basement, man.
No, you are getting it confused.
No.
Yeah, there was no windows.
Yeah, there was. Remember the lightning was going on? It was during the thunderstorm?
She was upstairs then.
Was there a different basement?
Yeah, there was the basement with the little garages.
Yeah, and the stroller comes out.
Yeah, right? But it was dark down there. There was no window.
Okay, I'll go with you on that. Cause
you might be thinking of the scene where she was running up the stairs and there was windows then.
I don't know.
Oh,
I'll go with you on that because I didn't pay very much attention to this movie.
Okay.
All right. Well, I thought this was my favorite part of the movie. So the bedroom door creaks open and she sees the little girl in the nightgown mm-hmm. across the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And then the door starts to creak close, but the little girl like runs at her as fast as she can. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she hits the door, she turns into the cult girl, like the full grown cult girl.
Yeah.
And she's like, ah! And then as soon as she should have impacted Mia, she just vanishes.
Yeah. Right.
That was, in my opinion, the best part of the whole movie.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
That was badass.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, there's a different scene where she's downstairs in the basement.
Uh-huh. That was a
part I did
second,
like that. Yeah. Yeah. I did like
that
part.
Second favorite part.
Yeah. The fucking elevator wouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah. I want to go up.
Yeah, shit. All right, so that's pretty creepy. John comes home, and then like she's like, I think I'm hallucinating. And he's like, okay, sweet pea, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go talk to our priest, because we're good Catholic white folks, and that's what good Catholics do. They go talk to the priest.
I like this priest.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you like about him?
The stuff
bad
that he's
complexion.
Done, well, the stuff he's done before. He's been in like Zorro's. And,
oh, you like the actor?
Yeah.
Who's the actor? He was in a Zorro movie?
Yeah, Tony Amendola.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's been in a couple Zorro movies. And then he's also done voices for Black Ops 2, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, all and right. Fallout 4.
All right, then.
Yeah.
That's impressive. He doesn't do much in this movie, no. Unfortunately. So they go and they talk to the priest, and he's like, you guys need to turn to the Lord. And by the way, if that doll is really the problem, then I know a couple in the East Coast, and they get called in to deal with this shit. He's talking about the Warrens. She's like, well, okay, we'll just pray through it, and we'll go back, and we'll try to... And he gives them this big speech about how, you know, they've already been through the worst that life has to offer, and now they're going to come out stronger on the other side. So that's all well and good. They go back to the apartment. Things are okay for a minute. We get to exploring the neighborhood a little bit, and we come across some kind of a weird esoteric bookstore, like, down the corner. And it's run by, what was her name? An African-American
oh,
lady.
Oh, shit, I can't think of her name.
I want to say it started with a C.
Alfre Woodard.
Yeah, I know, but what was the character's name?
Evelyn.
Evelyn! You'll recognize Alfre Woodard. She was in Luke Cage. She was in...
Everything.
Avengers, Age of Ultron. Yeah, she's pretty popular.
K-Pax, Primal Fear.
Oh, yeah. All over the place. She actually, she's probably the star of this movie. I think she put on the best performance. She's like, she sees Leah and Mia walking by, and she comes rushing out, and she's like, oh, little baby girl, how cute. And she gives Mia a book, and she's like, my daughter liked this when she was her age, and maybe when she gets a little bit older, she can read it. And we basically find out that Evelyn has a daughter about Mia's age that passed away, and so they kind of strike up a little bit of a friendship here. That's cool. Excuse me. Mia sees a book in the window called The Devil's Welcome. And she's, like, staring at it.
Yeah.
And, like ooh, maybe I'm going to go in and look at it. But then she just keeps walking.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is an hour.
It was a pointless.
This is an hour scene. And 44-minute movie. Do we really need that? That's like a 3-minute sequence.
Right.
Get rid of that shit. Fucking stupid. God. All right. So now she comes back. She's got Mia in her little stroller there. And she meets some neighborhood kids sitting on the steps. Mm-hmm. Little boy, little girl. Actually, she met them on the way out. Now that I think about it, they're sitting on the steps coloring, and she's like, hey, this is my daughter, Leah, and I'm Mia, and what's your names? And the little boy's like, don't talk to her. We don't talk to strangers. And she's like, great, you little pricks. And then she takes off, and she comes back. The kids are gone, but they left what they were coloring there on the steps.
Mm-hmm.
The first one just shows like a stick figure mom pushing a little baby in a carriage. And she's like, oh, that's interesting. They drew us a picture. And then she goes up a flight of stairs and has another one. And again, with the stick figure mom and the baby in the carriage. But now there's a truck in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like,
far away.
Yeah, okay. Goes up another flight of steps. Apparently the elevator doesn't work in this building. Another crayon picture. Mom, baby, truck's getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
Goes up another flight of steps. Mom, dead baby, blood everywhere, truck driving by. Mom freaking out.
Yeah, right in front of the door.
Yeah.
That's what my daughter would draw.
Yes, it is. That's exactly what your daughter would draw.
Yeah.
God damn it. She's like, oh, that's kind of freaky. So John comes home that night. She shows him the drawings, and he's like, well, this doesn't even really look like you, so don't worry about it. Maybe it's a different mom and a baby. And she's like, no, this is creepy. If my kids did this, I would want to know about it. We should go find their parents. Yeah. He's like, well, let's not fucking freak anybody out about it. All right, cool. Now we cut to the next day, and now it's like thundering and lightning out, and this is where we get our big creepy elevator sequence.
Mm-hmm.
This elevator sequence was the only part of the movie that was actually directed by James Wan, and it's probably one of, if not the best parts of the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
She gets an elevator. Apparently this building has like storage compartments that are like chain. They're basically like chain link cubicles, I guess. And you get one of them and you can store crap in there that you don't want in your apartment, but you can go up and get it anytime you want. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. I guess that's how some apartment buildings work. So she's taking some crap down to the storage area. She gets in the elevator, gets down there, gets to put in her fucking place is creepy, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And naturally, there's a bunch of other people's creepy shit laying around, mm-hmm. and it's dimly lit. So she gets in there. She's already freaked out because she thinks that, the fucking apartment is haunted.
I'm surprised she goes anywhere by herself.
I wouldn't go down there. By myself.
Yeah. I wait till husband's home, daylight.
Yeah. It's in the basement, I guess it doesn't really matter. She goes down there. She starts poking around in their storage area, and pretty soon she starts hearing a baby crying from one of the other cubicles.
Mm-hmm.
So she pokes her head out. She's like, hello? And then we see the carriage, the old school baby carriage, mm-hmm. which is a creepy fucking item.
Oh, yeah.
Come rolling out into the center aisle, and she's like, did somebody leave their baby down here? She walks over there. Of course not. Fucking. She walks down there. She looks in the baby carriage, and there's like a bundle of blankets, and it's kind of moving around a little bit, and it's got like some blood stains on it. So she's like, and then she reaches for it, and you get to see like a big black clawed hand like grab her arm.
Mm-hmm.
So she freaks out, like falls over, gets up, and then sprints back to the elevator.
Beeline
for reals. Gets to the elevator, closes the door.
Pushing that button rapidly.
Yes,
fast.
It's rapid. Fucking brrr, get it as fast as you can. Door closes. We think the elevator's moving, but then the door opens again, and she's right back there in the darkness of the fucking basement. Yeah. And she's like, "What the fuck?" And then it closes again.
Yes, hit the button again.
Hits it again. This happens like 3 or 4 times. Finally, like. On the fifth time, it closes, and you hear the gears start rolling and the elevator moving, but then it opens again, and she's right back where she started. But now there's like an exit sign illuminated, like halfway down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, well, I guess I'll just be taking the stairs then. Mm-hmm. So she hauls ass to the exit sign, starts running up the stairs. Apparently, that during this big freak thunderstorm, the power is going in and out on this building
mm-hmm.
because the stairways are fucking dark as shit. She gets up to one. She hears something chasing her, turns around, and we get to see like this demon.
Which, ooh, I know. I got goosebumps.
I gotta tell you, I actually like the demon. I thought he was pretty badass. Yeah, he's like just pitch black, like black skin, black horns. Yeah, I guess a little cartoonish, a little bit, like with the features and the horns and all that.
Long fingers.
But he's pretty. He's like crouched down in the corner of the stairwell, and she's looking down at him, and he's like, ah, and then he just kind of like disappears and reappears right in front of her face.
Yeah, it's like as the light was flashing, it kind of reminded me of Lights Out.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, fuck, and then she runs upstairs, gets in the apartment, and she's thinking she's safe for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Safe.
Rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
She runs into the apartment, slams the door. She's like, oh. Now, again, this is like midday, so everything should be copacetic. She runs into Mia's room to check on her, which I don't know why she would leave her alone in the apartment
right?
by herself to begin with.
Yeah.
Mia's there. She's in her fucking, what do you call that there? Playpen.
I don't know what
that
it's
is
called.
God damn it. What is that, buddy? It's a crib? Is it a crib?
Crib.
She's in the crib. And
baby crib.
I can only pantomime so much, man. It's like a box. You put the baby in the box. She's in the crib. She's fine. But like laying at the foot of the crib is Annabelle the doll. Mia's there, and she's like, oh, what's going on? Annabelle's not on the shelf where she usually is. And then Annabelle slowly, like, levitates up in the air and just kind of, like, hangs at, like, eye level for a second. And then when the camera pans back around, you see the demon is actually holding the doll up, and he kind of, like, looks around at her. That part was pretty dope, too, I thought.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, fuck! And then she grabs the baby and hauls ass out of there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, okay. You got my attention here for a minute. That was pretty cool. I think that was mm-hmm. probably one of the high points of the movie. All right. That's pretty sweet. So now we have a demon in the apartment, and that is confirmed. So John comes home again. We decide now we need to take some serious action because some shit is fucked up. John decides she's not crazy. So they go back to the Catholic priest, and they're like, "Hey, man, there's a fucking demon in our apartment, dude, and we don't care for that at all. So why don't you?" don't you come on over and get rid of that thing? And yeah, let's do that. So the priest is like, yeah, okay, I'll come check it out. Say you got a demon or whatever. Goes over. They all go to the apartment. The priest gets there, and I think there was some activity while the priest was there. What happened with? Didn't he get like shoved around or something like that?
Anybody? I think so.
Yeah, I remember something happened. But he's like, "Yeah, you definitely have a problem here." And I don't know, man. You got a demon. I'm gonna go back and talk to my friends at the Catholic Church, and we'll see if we can't get an exorcism going. And he's like, "Well, it seems like the activity is centered around this fucking doll. So there's ghosts don't haunt dolls. Only non-living, non-human entities haunt like inanimate objects. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the doll with me, and I'll take it to the church, and then the being in a place of worship will weaken it, and then at least you guys won't have to worry about it while that's going on."
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Yeah, solid plan.
That was brave of him.
Yeah. I would just take the... He drove over a bridge, right? Mm-hmm. Stop the car, throw the doll over the bridge, continue listening to the baseball game.
Yeah, but you know what happened? That doll would just show right back up.
Then I'll take it right back to the fucking bridge, weigh it down with some bricks this time, right into the drink. That's my modus operandi. Anyway, he's driving. He's got the doll. If you've ever seen any Child's Play movie or ghost movie, you know that there's about to be a car accident.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they didn't do that, though.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was always driving. And then you see him fiddling with the radio, not looking at the road, looking around, looking at Annabelle. You're thinking, okay, something's going to pop up in the road, and then he's going to swerve, and it's going to roll and kill everybody. It did not happen, though. So there's a point of originality for you, John Leonetti. So he's driving. The fucking radio station starts flipping around, and then it gets to a like a religious station, and it's like, "You'll be damned to hell." And he's like, "Oh shit!" But eventually, he makes it back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Gets to the church, grabs Annabelle, starts walking inside. Gets to the front door, turns around, and sees the dead cult Annabelle, the real living Annabelle,
mm-hmm.
or I guess ghost Annabelle, like standing on the church steps. Yeah. He's like, "Yep, fuck this," going right inside, goes to go into the church, and immediately just gets like knocked right on his ass.
Yeah, he flew back.
Like 9 feet away, though, onto the concrete.
Yeah.
Shit. All right, so he's now like severely concussed, at the very least. He's like laying on the pavement with blood coming out of his head.
Mm-hmm.
So that sucks. Apparently they took him to the hospital where John is doing his residency, because he's like the primary care physician for the priest. So he has to break the news to the nuns. And we get a very touching scene here of like the nuns crying. And but the good news, though, is that the priest is alive.
Yeah.
So, and you know, he's concussed and he's got some head trauma, but he's going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, right on. So, I guess we're still in the realm of that night. So, John goes to call Mia, and he's like, "Hey, Father, what's his name? Has been in a horrible accident. He was talking about the doll and the possession. And I tell you what, why don't you just get out of the apartment and go to like a public place and be there?" Okay, but the problem with that is that Mia and Leah and Evelyn are walking into the apartment as that's happening. Yeah. Evelyn has struck up like a very motherly relationship with Mia and Leah, like grandmother almost.
Yeah.
So she's like buying her clothes and stuff like that, which is cool. They're all there at the apartment, and now it's full-on attack time.
Oh, yeah.
With Annabelle, and some shit's about to get fucked up here.
Mm-hmm.
They put Mia down in her crib, and then she just kind of disappears. And the demon attacks, but like rolls out a red crayon, so they go running into Mia's bedroom. Mia's gone, and now there's like red crayon writing all over the walls. On the ceiling, it said "her soul." On the window, it said "your soul." So, theoretically, the position of this demon is that he's taking a soul with him. You have the option of sacrificing yours to save your daughter's.
Mm-hmm.
So, at least there's that. There's like a cool little escape clause, right? I would bring somebody home that I didn't particularly like.
Yeah. No, Evelyn's already there.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. How about that one?
Throw her out the window. Hey.
Have you met my buddy Dale? He doesn't do much. So that's cool. Now we get like the full-on paranormal attack thing happening here. Evelyn, like, gets shoved out of the apartment and, like, knocked clear down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to get back inside. Mia is the one that's, like, running around the apartment trying to find the baby. She finds what she thinks is the baby laying on the closet floor, a dead baby. Mm-hmm. So she's like, oh, my God, no, no, no. So she picks up the baby, the dead baby, supposedly, and starts, like, rocking it. But then, like, the noisemaker in it goes off because it's actually just a doll. So she looks down and she's like, oh. But then she starts looking at the crayon on the walls, and she kind of surmises that she can save her baby by jumping out of the window.
Yeah.
Good news, John just showed up, and he's on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And he kicks the door in just in time as she's thinking about jumping out of the fucking window.
Yeah.
So John shows up, and Evelyn gets back inside. And she's like, no, 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 don't jump out the window. There's another way around this. So he's, like, trying to restrain Mia from jumping out of the window, and while Mia's holding on to, like, this baby doll thing, and then nobody's really paying attention to Evelyn.
Right.
So now, in a particularly, you know, endearing event of self-sacrifice, Evelyn's like, oh, it's cool. My daughter committed suicide. I'm going to go ahead and jump. So she grabs Annabelle, the doll, and jumps out the window and kills herself. But Annabelle lands 100% intact.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the end of your movie. Then we cut back to the college students and them being interviewed by the Warrens and how they gave this entity permission to inhabit the doll. And we kind of get a little snippet of the doll being turning up at like a thrift shop, mm-hmm. and the mom of one of the college girls buying it. And then there you go, The Conjuring. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much your movie, man. What'd you guys think of Annabelle?
Mm. It's all right.
A little too long for me. Hour and 44 minutes. We could have shaved that a little bit, think. And Annabelle Wallace just killed this for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was given direction to act like that, but it just fucking... It drove me insane, you know?
Yeah.
Even, like, when she's, like, in a panic mode and she's running around trying to find the baby. Where's my baby? Where's my baby?
Yeah, I think the realistic part of her acting was probably that basement scene.
Yeah, that's about as good as you're going to get.
Yeah.
Right. Probably. There. Yeah.
Right there. Oh, man. This one came in at 5.4 stars on IMDb. I think that's a little high.
Yeah.
I would probably put it in the high fours
myself. Yeah, me too.
Three.
I don't know why it's rated R, dude. There's no nudity. Violence is minimal.
I just don't like this movie.
You don't like it? What do you not like
about
it?
It just wasn't scary. There was nothing scary.
It wasn't. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even really call it a haunted doll movie.
No, you're right.
Yeah, demonic movie.
It's like a haunted house movie type of thing, which is fine. But
yeah, even the boy is scarier than this.
Oh yeah. I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about this one.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There was that one weird scene where I guess the real Annabelle, when she died, like the blood went into the eye of the doll.
Right.
So because of that, wouldn't that be the
creation?
Yeah.
That's what I'm very curious about this new movie.
Like how they're going to pull that off. Or does this happen with everybody that owns this doll, that somebody dies and blood gets into it?
Well, there's got to be more than one of those dolls, though, right?
I wouldn't think so.
No? You think it's a one of a kind?
Well, yeah. Conjuring has it in the cage.
Yeah, but she had it. Remember, she had like sisters. When they first brought Annabelle home and they put her on the shelf, she had those like four other dolls that looked very similar to Annabelle, just with different hairstyles.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I just thought there were other dolls.
Yeah, whatever.
But I guess we'll find out.
Torment your child with dolls.
Who wins in a fight between Annabelle and Billy the doll from Dead Silence?
Oh, Billy the doll.
Billy. Yeah.
Billy.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't know about this one, inmates.
If you've seen Creation, let us know.
I hear good things so far. Yeah.
Hmm.
I think I'm just not a big fan of killer dolls.
Yeah.
I'm not frightened by dolls.
Right.
I'm not frightened by kids. Chucky never really did anything for me other than being a wisecracker.
Yeah. I liked the first one, but that was it.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, check that out if you're... One of these days we're going to do like a Conjuring movie marathon where we'll just go through the whole franchise.
Yeah, try to put it all into order somehow.
Yes. Somehow.
After The Nun comes out.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too.
All right, inmates, we're going to take us a little break. I say probably fucking skip Annabelle, unless you really want to know more about that doll from The Conjuring. We're going to take us a little break. We'll get back to you with some other stuff.
Inmates, if you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back. Oh, I think it's about that time of the show. We get into some fights, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Terradome time.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in. I'll kill you all. I'll drive you crazy. I'll kill you all. Dream come true.
6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face, with blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
Welcome to the Terra Dome.
First, we have last week's winners in singles competition. We had Frankenstein's Monster versus the Demon Pazuzu. The Demon Pazuzu fought with hellfire and brimstone to possess the body of the created. What it failed to realize was that the monster's will was ironclad and that with no soul to fear for, the fires of hell would seem little more than a warm breeze. With a vote of 10-9, Monica with the swing vote.
Whoa.
Frankenstein's Monster advances over the Demon Pazuzu. Monica, I think you're going to take some shit for that one, babe.
Yeah.
So if you didn't stop us mid listener mail to change your vote, you know who's really going to take some shit for this one? Me, because somehow I'm going to get accused of paying you off to change your vote or some shit. So, there you have it.
No, it was Cake Bitch, remember?
I think she made a very compelling, but she ended up voting for Pazuzu.
Yeah.
I know, but once I listened to her say soulless, I was like, oh my god, she's right.
I blame Cake Bitch. Cake Bitch is going down for this one.
I voted Pazuzu.
Yes, you did.
You're all going to die down here.
That's what I wanted. Okay. In teams competition, we had the Umbrella Corporation versus the Hattiger Brothers. The Umbrella Corporation's construction of Hive Site 2 is a success on various levels. First, it provided an ideal home for secret research into biochemical warfare. Second, in the construction phase, certain test subjects were apprehended that proved to be anatomical anomalies. Three local brothers surviving only on human flesh were now heavily sedated in the Hive's laboratory. With a vote of 19-0 in this year's first blowout, the Umbrella Corporation advances over the Hattiger Brothers.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, huh?
What, did you want to change your vote?
Yeah. Fucking Cake Bitch. Yeah. Alrighty, let's take a look at this week's matchup, shall we? That's a cool theme song. Mm-hmm. I like that. In the singles division, we are in the Asylum Conference Round 3. As usual, inmates, bear with me. I'm not very good at writing in general, so there's that. The room was cold and dark. He was disoriented. The restraints on his chair held him firmly in place, but he was expecting that. What he wasn't expecting was a small television in the middle of the room to hum to life and display a puppet. The puppet would go on to explain that he'd been abducted and that he would probably die if he didn't play a game. Dr. Hannibal Lecter wasn't known for his sense of humor or his willingness to play games. He'd been removed from his safety cell at the institution by a young detective. The detective had needed some insight into the identity of the elusive Jigsaw killer and had hoped to show Dr. Lecter one of the crime scenes. Now he was to be another victim. Knowing what he already knew about the Jigsaw killer, he begins to speak. He knows that Jigsaw is both watching and listening as the game plays itself out. If Dr. Lecter can get inside the mind of Jigsaw, he can most likely find a victim of his own. Singles competition, we have Jigsaw versus Hannibal Lecter. Buddy?
Jigsaw.
Monica?
Jigsaw.
I also am going Jigsaw. I feel like he is probably impervious to psychoanalysis.
Yeah.
And whenever you have an engineer versus a psychologist, engineers deal in logic.
Mm-hmm.
Psychologists deal in emotions.
Yeah.
I always go with logic. Mm-hmm. That's my reasoning. I'm taking Jigsaw on that one.
Yeah. And he's better looking.
I agree. Nah. Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah.
I think Tobin Bell is better looking than Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah. I'm more attracted to him.
I don't know, man. I don't know about that.
Now, but back in the
Hannibal Lecter. Yeah, like with the slick back hair.
No,
he was in good shape.
Yeah,
back
he was.
Then.
Yeah, he was like all buff.
Yeah.
I'll take the other oldie.
You and your old men.
I know.
You're kind of freaking me out a little bit. I don't want to have my family over. Monica's going to hit on my grandparents.
Monica's going to start an old man dome.
This week we have Darian's dad against Buddy's dad in the sexy showdown of the week. Let's take a look at the teams competition, you sex pervs. We're still in the teams division, Asylum Conference Round 3. It wasn't much, but it was something. Something was a lot more than the rest of the world had, at least since the initial outbreak. Sergeant Collins and what was left of Charlie Company had begun to rest easy. The waves of infected had abated. It had been weeks since any of them had wandered out of the woods or anywhere near the compound. But then Corporal Erickson's squad fails to report in from a night patrol. A few days later, their bodies are found mutilated, skinned, and hanging from some trees. Their weapons all piled on the forest floor beneath them, all intact and still fully loaded. Whatever got Erickson's squad wasn't infected. It isn't like the infected to kill or mutilate with this kind of precision. Other survivors, perhaps, but it wasn't like Corporal Erickson to walk his men into an ambush. Now the compound would go back onto high alert. Whatever it was still out there, and it didn't care at all about the infected or the men of Charlie Company. Teams competition, we have the Predators versus the Infected. This one's tougher, man, because, I don't know, I mean, Infected have numbers.
So do Predators.
No, they don't. They come in teams of three, usually.
Yeah, that's kind of tough.
I feel like Predators can be overwhelmed, but I feel like the Predators can also outsmart the Infected with all that high-speed, high-tech stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, what do you think there, guy?
I'm going Predators.
Predators, I figured that. Monica?
I'm going to go Infected.
I think I'm going to go Infected, too. I feel like the numbers thing is just too much for them to overcome. And if a Predator gets infected, and I'm not 100% sure that could happen, but if the blood somehow got into an open wound of a Predator, maybe that would make an infected Predator, which is a really nasty customer. There, buddy. You don't want that. You don't want to invite that guy to your party. That's a big problem.
I'm just thinking by the time he's done taking out one, he's got like 30 of them on top of him.
That's how the aliens usually win. They swarm them.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sticking with the infected on that. Plus, I don't think those shoulder blasters can fire fast enough. They have to like recharge.
Yeah, exactly.
So if there's just waves running at them, I'm taking the infected on that one. Sarah's going to kick our asses next week. But, hey, that's what happens in the Terror Dome. Those are your Terror Dome matchups for the week, inmates. In singles, we have Dr. Hannibal Lecter versus Jigsaw. In teams, we have the Predators versus the Infected. As usual, get us your votes by next week if you can. The Mental Health Hotline is area code 775-387-0275. Or you can get us on the regular old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. Or you can just write in to say what's up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you can check out the immersion therapy. Tell us what you think of that. Or you can compliment us on our choice of facial hair. or lack thereof. Whatever you want to do, inmates, we're here for you.
That's right. We want to hear from you.
We want to hear from you. We'd love to hear your voices also. I actually prefer voicemails to the emails, if I have my pick.
Well, yeah, it's less work for you.
Well, yeah. And people don't know this, but those segments are heavily edited together because I read at a third grade level, and it usually takes me about 25 minutes to get through one email. Oh, how about a little what are you looking at?
Thank you. What are you looking at?
I only got one movie in this week. It's called And Soon the Darkness. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Two English college girls bicycling across Europe. They get in a fight in a Spanish village and separate, and then one of them goes missing and turns up dead, and the other one's trying to find her. It's fine. It's more like a crime suspense type of thing.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. It's on Shudder right now if you really want to check it out. It's from 1970. It's pretty dated. Yeah, once you figure out who the killer is, then it's just like waiting to see if the other one's going to escape or not.
Oh.
That's all I'm looking at. Monica, what do you got?
I finally checked out Cheap Thrills.
Oh, that's a good one. I love that one.
I liked it.
Yeah, have you seen that one, buddy?
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like the name.
Yeah. I love David Koechner in that.
He's the bald guy, right?
Yes.
I love him. He's so funny.
He's the best in everything.
Yeah, he is.
And I think I'm falling in love with Sarah Paxton also. She was the wife.
Oh, she played the wife?
Yeah, she was also in Shark Knight, Last House on the Left remake.
Oh, okay.
What is that? That one with the home invasion?
Is it not Strangers?
No, you find out at the end that they're ghosts. What the fuck? It's right over there.
Oh, it's right over there.
Yeah.
Skeleton Key?
No. Home Invasion, man. you find out at the end that the home invaders are ghost hunters and the people being home invaded are dead.
Oh.
Oh, she is a hottie.
She is. I like her.
Yeah. I can't think of that movie.
It's right there on the... Whatever. I'll think of it like at 11:30 tonight, and I'll be like, ah! Why couldn't I think of that movie? Static. It's called Static.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
She's very attractive.
Mm-hmm. I also got to watch Open Water Part 3.
Tell me this one is better than at least Part 2.
It's better than Part 2, but I agree. Part 1 is the best.
I couldn't get behind Part 1. I mean, it's fine, but it's just a whole lot of these two floating.
I think because it's more realistic.
But yeah, you're probably right.
And Part 3 is, you know, I was angry at the whole movie because I'm like, you deserve to die. You go to the ocean, you deserve to die.
That's how I felt about Part 2. And kill them all. Yeah. Kill every one of them.
Yeah, and then it's bullshit trying to get the sharks all rowdied up to come to your cage and fuck with them. You deserve it.
Yeah, I agree.
I got to watch Tango and Cash again.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I like that. Robert Zidar in that one.
Yeah.
That guy had the face of a catcher's mitt.
Oh, yeah. First Kill. That's another new Bruce Willis movie.
Oh.
He's pumping him out, but they're not making it to the theaters.
Oh, okay.
And the longest movie ever, A Cure for Wellness.
I've been wanting to watch that. Is it? How long is it, you suppose?
I think...
3 hours?
Almost. Because I started falling asleep at the last 30 minutes, and I'm like, oh my God, it's not over yet.
And it was 2 hours, 26 minutes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It looks good. Was it good?
It's not really.
No?
It's just long and lots of talking.
Would you call it a horror movie or no?
No.
Oh.
No.
What would you call it? Like a drama?
Maybe a drama /
drama, sci-fi? Fantasy, horror.
Drama, fantasy, horror.
Yeah, because all you really have is like eels or worms or whatever you want.
Well, that's kind of horror, a little bit.
Yeah, but it's not like you see them killing anybody.
No.
There's nothing like that in here.
All right.
Yeah.
Shit.
So if you want
to
waste 3 hours, go ahead.
I don't have 3 hours.
Well, you know
what?
Put it on when you're cleaning or something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. One of those movies.
And that's all I watched.
All right, buddy. Anything?
I watched The Ranch Season 2, 7 episodes of it.
That's the one with Ashton Kutcher?
Yes.
Is that right? Is that pretty funny?
Oh, I love it.
It's got the other guy from that 70s show, too, right?
Yes.
Right on.
I can't remember his name, but yeah.
The curly-headed guy?
Uh-huh.
Right on.
Huh. Yeah, it's awesome.
Right on.
I've been thinking about watching that.
All 3 seasons are on Netflix.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Right on. I watched something else I'm... didn't have anything to do with anything, but I watched Glow. You guys see that show yet?
Uh-uh.
On Netflix?
Uh-uh.
Glamorous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, is that what that
is? Yeah.
Oh.
It's pretty good. You should check that out. It's another series on Netflix. Netflix original series. Pretty good times.
Okay.
All right.
All righty. That's what we're looking at. Let's get ourselves into some immersion therapy then.
Immersion therapy.
I hope my daughter grows up to be that kick-ass when she's like 14, 15.
Right.
You know? I like the chicken now when she was badass. What do you think, Monica?
I liked her because that's probably how I was in school. However, the only thing that bothered me was I could tell she didn't like shower and like brush her hair.
I could get that.
That was the only thing that upset me.
Well, that was like the unfortunate byproduct of being the metal kids. They weren't too big on hygiene, at least not when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like smoking cigarettes and they were like the bad... Yeah, we're going to kick somebody's ass.
Shower when we feel like
it.
Oh, my God.
Anytime you're like, oh.
That's not how I remember the chicks. They all had feathered hair, perfect, clean, white Vans.
Well, I know, but those were like the in dudes. Crowds. You know, we're talking about the metalheads here, Monica. They were like, smoking, which was the cool thing to do, but then just fucking stinky most of the time. I get it. I thought it was a good show. What'd you think of The Devil's Candy?
I liked it a lot.
It was very organic with the heavy metal.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that part.
Who was that? Tony that said that it, or Sean that said that, you know, heavy metal gets put in horror movies a lot, but sometimes it's just shoved in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This time it was actually felt like it was a congruent part of the story, which I dug a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I loved the painting.
Yeah, the painting's badass.
Yeah, I was like, cool. Don't destroy it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
I like
good
the soundtrack,
pick, buddy.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked at the soundtrack. Who's on it besides Metallica?
Oh, I was just listening to all the music while I was playing.
Oh, yeah.
It was all pretty good.
Yeah. I wonder if they did release a soundtrack to that. I'd have to pick that up.
I would think so.
If that guy showed up at your door and was like, this was my home, and had nowhere to go, would you let him in?
No.
Not with those crazy eyes, dude. Those crazy eyes are crazy.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I would probably be like, hey, can I call somebody for you?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what can I help you? Or
wait out there.
Yeah, you're not coming in. You big bastard. Get out of here. I appreciate the guitar and the amp, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Right on. Good pick, buddy.
Thanks.
What do you got for us this week, my man?
All right, this week, let's check out 2015's Demonic. It is written by Max LaBella, directed by Will Cannon, stars Maria Bello, Frank Grillo, Cody Horn, and Dustin Milligan.
Right on. If Maria Bello is hotter in this movie, will you give her some bonus points? Even I think she was pretty hot in Lights Out, but whatever, you Maria Bello hater.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You hate her?
I didn't think she was attractive in Lights Out.
Oh.
That was my reaction, exactly.
She's not, like, ugly. She doesn't wear makeup. She's just a real chick.
She wore makeup in Lights Out.
I believe she, in real life, she is a lesbian.
Oh, yeah. Full on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like 14 years or something with
like
one
that,
lady.
Huh? Which makes that that staircase scene in History of Violence very uncomfortable, I think.
And her pubic hair.
Oh, yeah, you!
All right.
Alrighty, check that out, inmates. We'll do the same and compare notes next week. But right now, we got to educate Miss Monica.
Educating Miss Monica.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Monica, I think just about everybody nailed you last week with the loved ones.
Yes,
that
they
was
did.
A layup. I appreciate you going easy on us.
Okay.
Who might you be this week, I wonder?
I wasn't here last week, so I didn't get to read this
right.
one. Okay. I seek my revenge by snatching the good and bad off the streets. Night after night, killing just because I want to. The citizens are terrified. So is the mayor, but I can find a way to pay him back for taking my life.
Okay.
I know, all right. I saw this.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. All right. Well, you're not Batman, so I know Batman. A lot of you are probably leaning towards Batman. Well, let me rephrase that. You fucking better not be Batman.
I'm not Batman. He's not a horror movie.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure there was no confusion on the subject. All right, inmates, think about that, and we'll have an answer for you next week. I'm pretty sure I got her, but I could be wrong. I probably, every time I say I got her, I usually am wrong. But before we close out, let's get into some Company of Wolves.
The Company of Wolves.
I made a grievous error on Sunday, my friends.
Uh-oh.
I ran the Reno 10-miler.
Yeah.
But I did it in my 3-mile underwear. So my balls look like Freddy Krueger's sweater right about now. Whoa. They are in bad shape. And this heat is not helping them at all. I don't know what it is, dude. I got a new pair of underwear that I can wear for about 3 miles without any problems. And I don't know if it was dark or I just wasn't paying attention, but I put them on. Normally, I have to wear... I know this is more Darian's crotch talk than anybody asked for, but I'm going to go ahead and bring you up to speed here. If I'm going long distances, I have to wear my Under Armour because I guess it's just ventilated better or something like that. But I fucked up. I put the cheap stuff on, and now I'm paying for it.
Wow.
So that's something to watch out for.
So are you like a spread eagle with the fan blowing? Oh, that feels fantastic.
Yes. Well, it feels better. I'm sure if I didn't have a gnarly heat rash, it would really feel good. Well, I would have some questions to answer from my wife. What's going on here?
Oh, just because.
This is a new thing, or can I try? So that's something to look out for. Reno 10-miler, had a blast doing that. Met a couple of my guys from the RTO down there. We all had fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's very scenic. I know you guys aren't into running, but if you ever got up to that level, I would recommend it just because you go through the UNR campus and through parts of downtown that are usually closed to pedestrian traffic and along the river and stuff. And you do it at a relatively cool time.
Oh, is that why it was closed down?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Hmm. Well, that and with all the Hot August Nights crap, they close all that shit down. Hmm. So I think that's about going to do it for the week then. Buddy, Monica, you guys got anything else?
Thanks, everybody.
What did we decide on, Insidious 2 or 3?
Yes, 2.
Okay, we're going to... We're actually going to have another one after that, too.
All right.
So join us next week for Insidious 2, Inmates, carrying on James Wan month here in the Padded Room. As usual, you can like, comment, subscribe wherever you found us. That always helps us out a lot. If you feel like making a small monthly Patreon donation, you can do that at patreon.com/paddedroompod, or you can find anything else you need to know about us at paddedroom.podbean.com. So, join us next week for Insidious 2 for Miss Monica, Buddy, and the Padded Room Podcast. Afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye.
Bye.